You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Well, what is going on, everybody? Welcome into the Hump Day Hotline on the Buffalo Rumblings.
Hump Day!
Buffalo Rumblings multicast and podcast network brought to you by The Market Dominator. My name is Joe Miller. You can find me on Twitter at Joe Miller Wired. That is my co-host right over there, Jay Spencer King. What's up, Jay Spence?
What's up, man? Where's your name?
I take it down for overreaction, man. and I never put it back. So how are you this evening?
I'm good. How are you? I missed you, man.
Yeah,
this is the first time I've gotten a chance to talk to you since you've been gone.
Yeah, since you've been gone. Sorry, little Kelly Clarkson there for you. It's been a minute. Yeah, I've been in Mexico, and I brought Mexico back to me. So if anybody's wondering, it's affectionately called a Thai blue, but it's basically a blue margarita. So I'm still carrying the Mexican love all the way up here in Buffalo, which was a balmy 60 degrees today. What's the weather like there in Arizona?
89.
Hot.
89.
Freaking
I'm
hot.
Going to play golf Saturday is what I'm doing.
I could have played golf today. That ain't no brag. I could have played golf today in shorts.
Yeah, but you would have. Yeah, no, I'm not in shorts if I'm in Buffalo. That's not happening.
I see the Renaissance man Wednesday night with the drink poured up and Hump Day Hotline on deck. I like it.
That's my dude. Like, I can't wait for the day that I get to shake his hand. Seriously. Like, there's a lot of people that I've met and a lot of people I want to meet, but seriously, I need to meet him. Like, that is my guy.
Everybody jumping into the chat, it's good to see all of you guys. My mom says she's missed us. I don't know how this is possible. She's upstairs in my guest room right now. So
mom is so pretty. Oh my god, I've never seen like a close-up. Is that a new picture or something or what? Because I'd never pay attention to the picture, I guess. Mom's well, so
where
pretty.
Where do you think I got my good looks from? Come on now, brother. Come on. Too now funny. So she came into town to watch the girls while Beth and I were in Mexico by ourselves. But it's a good evening. We'll do the read for the Market Dominator when some more people jump into the room. It's Wednesday night. It's Hump Day. Jump on that like if you could do us that favor. But where do we want to start? Do we want to start with the news of the day or the news of the week, which is this?
Wild Goose getting signed to the Jets, man. They came and plucked one of our draft picks out from the practice squad. And I saw a lot of reaction on this. Like, so some people are like indifferent, like, oh, well, you know, we're good. Then others are like, man, I don't like it. I'm going to tell you, I don't like it, man. Like, we have certain questions about the cornerback position. And coming into the season, you had some people saying, like, we need to replace Levi. Yeah, some people saying, why did we extend Taron Johnson? I know he got the interception in the playoffs, but he didn't play great before that. Like, he wasn't. So you have questions at the cornerback position, but no, man. I feel confident for the rest of the season, at the very least, with the guys that we have. But I don't like the fact that he got, you know, like that. I understand the rules and I know how it goes, but man, like, that's the second one that came off our practice squad. We lost the offensive lineman. Mm-hmm. And now we're losing our cornerback. And the thing is, both guys, I feel like if they got the opportunity to play for us and we had the opportunity to really develop them, I feel like one of the best things about the Buffalo Bills since Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean has come here is their ability to develop talent. Yeah. We saw it with Josh. The biggest one is we saw it with Josh Allen. I think we're seeing it with Tremaine Edmonds this year. I think we're seeing him really become the player that they envisioned him being when they drafted him. We see it with, you know, even Isaiah McKenzie. We didn't draft him, but coming here, he had concerns in several areas of his game. He's gotten better. I can probably say this for like 30 guys. because that's what they're good at. They do very, very well at developing these players. They have a couple guys that they can't seem to get on board, you know, like Cody Ford. Obviously, we're at the point where it's like, man, we got to move on. But I really would have loved for Wild Goose to be on his team for the future.
I don't know. I'm indifferent. I think it's because we could regret it later. I don't know that I saw enough of him in preseason to be like, oh my gosh, this dude's got what it takes. I think if he had enough to make a difference, even for the Jets. I mean, obviously they plucked him, I think, because they have an injury in their defensive backfield. I think that if he was good enough, he would unseat a guy like Levi Wallace, right? Or whoever the guy is behind Levi Wallace. Go ahead.
But no, you're right. You're right. But Levi, man, he continues to prove everybody wrong every year.
Sure.
It's like I think it's based off of his background. He has that mentality that he just will not lose. So, you know, I don't care. Now, obviously, there's certain guys who are just better. You bring Stephon Gilmore back to Buffalo, he's starting. But the thing is, like, Levi is like, they've brought in guys. They've brought in guys to compete with him, and he just cannot. He's not giving up his position.
Yeah, but when you look at, and I know that it speaks to the depth of the roster. So I know that it's different now than it was when Levi Wallace got here. Levi Wallace is an undrafted rookie free agent, right? And he comes and he starts somewhat right away. Dane Jackson, I believe, was a 7th round pick, and he's like the guy waiting in the wings. Wild Goose was, what was he, 4th round, 5th round? Where was he taken? 6th? It's Chris Jenkins.
He'll tell us.
But he couldn't unseat an undrafted rookie free agent. He couldn't unseat, you know what I mean, a 7th round pick. He couldn't unseat some of these guys. And again, I know that it speaks to the depth of the roster. I know that it speaks to, you know, Levi and Dane have been here. Cam Lewis has been here for a while. I don't know how to feel about it. Does it matter to me? I don't think so. Does it mean, might I regret it next year? Yeah, right. So,
well, let me ask you this: if and I know this is probably, I don't know if it's in the comments or in the questions or not, but do we think? Because I just said, like, we're good with our secondary, we're good with the cornerbacks that we have. Mm-hmm. But do you think is Levi going to get extended, or is Levi, you know, like, is this one of those things where he's proven us all wrong every year? Does he get an extension, or does he go elsewhere now if we don't win this Super Bowl?
So it's scrolling at the bottom to your request. Wallace is quietly doing his job and in line for an extension. Do the Bills ride it out or make him move to secure his future in Buffalo? I don't know. You know, it's funny because my position wholly changed, wholly, completely changed on Levi Wallace after having spent enough time with John Fina to kind of understand what the Bills were asking him to do. Mm-hmm. Do I think they can upgrade that position in the draft? Yes. Do I think they need to? Maybe. I'm not saying I don't like Levi. I'm definitely way more comfortable with him being on the roster now than I was last year. If you remember, I was fit to be tied last year at times. Like, I think we all were. It's like, could you please make a play on the football and not let everybody catch the ball and then tackle him? And then you discover that that's kind of what they're asking him to do. Just be a sure tackler. Keep it the play in front of you. Bend, but don't break. Yada, yada, yada. Which is what he's doing. Extension? I don't know. I think he's one of those guys that if he can come on the cheap, they might extend him, because you can't have a roster full of Josh Allen's and Stephon Diggs and Tremaine Edmonds, because, you know, Diggs is looking for money. He's going to be looking for money soon, I should say. Tremaine is going to be looking for money soon. They've picked up his 5th-year option, so he's got a big number. And then there's going to be an extension after that, which is going to be probably enormous, especially if he builds off of last year. If they don't sign Tremaine in the offseason this year and he builds on this season, next season, and like starts to really come into his own and develop his body style and understand, like, he's no longer like the puppy with the long legs, if that makes any sense. Like, he literally begins to feel his body a little better. There's only so many people that can earn $20 million a year. So Levi becomes one of those guys where it's like, we trust him. We know what he's going to give us. He's consistent. Maybe the Bills do secure his future in Buffalo versus, you know, they're definitely not going to get it. I don't see them going after a free agent, right? Finding a guy that's better than Levi to be opposite Trey. Maybe they draft a guy. I got to think they're going guard. I got to think they're going heavy offense. They went heavy defensive line in this draft. I think they go heavy offensive line, even with Spencer Brown. And who knows what Tommy Doyle is going to be, but even with Spencer Brown, I still think they go heavy offensive line. Mitch Morse's contract's coming up. Feliciano is easy to let go. Cody Ford's clearly not going to be on this roster next year, right? So when you do the math, I know Bills Mafia might not like it, but Wallace probably gets extended. The question is when.
I mean, but that's the question, I guess, for me. Why wouldn't Bills Mafia like it? Like, when you're looking at, to your point, A, what the team is asking him to do, he's doing it very well.
They don't know that. They don't know that part. The majority of the people on Twitter don't watch our show. Don't watch the Fina show. Don't watch the Code of Conduct show. The majority of people on Twitter that are just freaking out about Levi Wallace see him allow A.J. Brown to catch the ball in front of him six times in a row and doesn't, you know, and then tackles him. And it's like, why can't he make a play on the ball? Because they're not asking him to. They're asking him to keep the ball in front of him and make a tackle.
But then, you know what the thing is, though, and this is, I talked about this on the Code of Conduct. The thing about it is, yeah, he'll give up catches to A.J. Brown. He'll give up catches where, like, he keeps the play in front of him and then he makes a tackle. But then when you're looking at, really, you look at the majority of the season, the Bills have one of the stingiest, if not the stingiest, defenses in the league. So even if we're talking about him giving up some catches here and where he's giving up this there, the thing is, they're not giving up a lot. Not you. You know, I'm not saying it saying it.
I'm going to back what you just set up. The Buffalo Bills are by far the lowest quarterback against, like, quarterback rating in the NFL. They are crushing opposing quarterbacks. Crushing. Opposing, like, killing them. And they're number one, hands down. It's not even a question.
So the thing is, when you critique these guys and you're saying, like, well, he's giving up this, he's giving up that, but then you look at the defense, it's like, wait, well, they're really not giving up a lot. So, like, I can't be, because then the thing is, it's like, okay, yeah, he could be a quote unquote shut down corner. And then what, we give up 30 yards less a game?
Right.
You get
right.
Like, I mean, that's the real question. So it's like, what is the expectation when you look at your second cornerback and you're looking at opposite Trey White? What do you expect? Like, no, I'm not going to throw to Trey's side 10 times a game because I don't want four interceptions.
Well, there's two guys. You know? They're not throwing to Taron Johnson anymore either. So they're not throwing to either.
So now when you look at that, it's like, okay, so we got to throw to Levi because at least the team is asking Levi to keep the play in front of him and he's not jumping these balls. So that's the weakness that we have on our defense. But when you look at it, it's not a weakness because what they do is they give up just enough space to where the team feels like they might be able to pick up some yards or they might be able to get a first down, but they don't. And we always get the ball back. So I'm not mad on any level when it comes to Levi. Like, I want Levi to get a 3-year extension, a team friendly deal, but I need that extension to happen before the playoffs get here.
He's not going to make what Taron's making. He's not going to get $8 million a year. I mean, he's probably
I don't expect that four and a half range.
So this Chris Shakey says, I think they go heavy interior O line and D tackle. I agree. I wouldn't be surprised at all if the Bills go center guard 1-2 next year. Center guard and maybe DT in 3. Mitch Morris is going to be off this roster soon, not because they're going to cut him, because his contract's going to be up, and I don't think they're going to re-sign him. And then obviously we know I don't think that he's given them necessarily what they want. I love Mitch Morris. I think Mitch Morris is great. He clearly is a better pass blocker than run blocker. And there's a clear and concise message that the Bills have been putting out since last year that we need to be more effective running the football. And Mitch Morris is potentially a liability in that category. And I'm not saying that I'm no way bashing Mitch Morris. I'm just telling the truth. So for me to see the Buffalo Bills draft a center like they did Eric Wood and draft a guard, and then you see literally Dawkins, rookie guard, rookie center, Darrell Williams, Spencer Brown, that offensive line could be 10 times better than it is right now, potentially.
See, I agree with most of what you're saying. I just think Mitch Morris, and maybe I'm, you know, I haven't had the I don't speak to John as much as you do, but to me, I think for the season, the full season that we're talking about, I think Mitch Morris has been the most consistent player on the offensive line.
Agreed.
And I think that he's the, so to me, I know obviously we will have to end up drafting at some point, but right now to me, no, Mitch is here. I wouldn't make him the highest paid center in the league again, but I think if we can extend him, get him a nice extension, I will go guard and I will go defensive tackle. At some point we have to replace Star. I know everybody loves Harry. I love Harry. Harry's not Star. You know, Oliver is doing his thing, but it's a different defensive tackle position that he's playing. So he's not going to give you the same type of he's not going to eat up blocks the way that Star does. So if it's me, again, I'm a podcaster, I'm not a coach, but if it was me, I'm going offensive guard and I'm going defensive tackle 1 and 2. I mean, especially when you're figuring we're going to be drafting 32.
So another offensive tackle. So you're taking another OT.
No, offensive guard, I meant. I'm sorry.
Guard. You said guard first, and then you said an offensive tackle. So OT.
Defensive tackle. Defensive tackle. Yeah, I meant because we got to replace Starr at some point.
So Charlie Gross is in the show, which is good. Thanks, Charlie, for coming on. I think they extend him more to lower his cap it, which is completely possible. They have too many needs on the O-line. I would say this. I think this is his last year. Not. I think next year is his last. I could be wrong. Let me keep.
Chris Jenke says that Mitch Morse has 1 year left after this year.
Yes.
His contract is easy to get out of this offseason and not much dead cap should they choose to move on.
So my only point is this. I'm not saying that they're going to cut Mitch. They're going to move on from Mitch. I think Mitch will play out his contract at the very least. There's a good chance they can extend him to Charlie's point and lower his cap number and like get him in a little bit underneath, especially if he wants to stay here. The part that I take a little bit of that I don't agree with in Charlie's post is the year that Eric Wood was drafted. I mean, he was drafted late. You can get a center to start in the NFL as a rookie late in the first round. Like that guy is going to start. And if he doesn't, you drafted the wrong guy. Like centers generally, when you draft them, they play. Like that's just how it is. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and it's like that with certain other positions too. Like you just, you know, you, for instance, you draft I know with the Bills is different, but a defensive end at times, like you draft a high motor defensive end that can get to the quarterback, they start. They normally come in the league hot. But
right.
But no, I think when you look at the entirety of our team, I feel like there are minimal holes. Now, so yeah. To me, if I was gonna rank the holes that we do have, I'm gonna go offensive guard, then I'm gonna go punter. For me, I'm gonna go punter after offensive guard.
I'm with you.
And then from there, like, yeah, we have to end up replacing Starr. We have to find a younger replacement for Mitch. You know,
it's defensive tackle for sure. So it's definitely guard number one glowing problem. Guard, maybe two guards on this football team. Daryl Williams when he's next to Spencer, next to Morris is playing better. Backup quarterback is gonna be a problem next year, right? I mean, we're back in that situation where we've got a quarterback that's one, number one or number two, one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL who plays a physical style of football. If he gets hurt and is out for four games, you've got to have a backup that can win two of those four games, right?
Yeah. No, I'm with
you. Right.
I'm with
tight end. I think we saw from Tommy Sweeney, he's been here as long as Dawson Knox, probably not ready.
I think I think the tight end position, unless there's somebody in the draft that you're just like, yo, this guy's a stud. I think tight end is a position you have Dawson. So you can go and get I don't want to call it a bargain, but you can go and get a bargain tight end.
This is not true. Eric Wood started as a center in Buffalo. He came in after, what's his name? The dude that we picked up from Denver that was supposed to be great and sucked. Eric Wood.
I'm not going to debate it because I don't know. So I'm not going to debate it.
Daniel, I love you. You know that I love you, but I'm pretty sure that Eric Wood has only played center for Buffalo.
Okay.
Keep going. While I'm Googling, you can look that up.
No, you're good.
While we're looking that up, you can talk.
And Charlie actually asked, our punter is bad, but isn't he on a 5-year contract? Listen, Charlie, you're right. Probably is. I can look that up. But I don't care what the contract is at this point. Like, bro, whatever y'all got to do to improve, y'all know me. Like, so when it comes to the code of conduct, when it comes to the chop up, when it comes to half day at a hump day hotline, or not half day, but half of the show of the hump day hotline, special teams is going to get talked about because I truly value special teams. So, you know, you can't have what we've had this season out of the punter position. You just can't.
So ProReference.com actually has Eric Wood having played his first two seasons. They have him listed as a right guard. I do not remember him playing right guard at all. And I've got a pretty good memory. So Daniel,
you got a bunch of people in the comments like, nope, it was guard. Nope. Yeah.
I remember that draft specifically wanting Alex Mack. I wanted him really bad. Hangartner. That was the guy I was thinking about. And Hangartner was awful. And Lavitre was awful too. That's a funny time in Bill's history when they had Lavitre and then they had Wood and they had Wang. You remember that when they had those three guys? So Daniel, I apologize. I literally have no memory. I just remember wanting Alex Mack very bad. Alex Mack went to the Browns and then the Bills drafted Wood. And I immediately went to my computer because I was like, who the heck is Eric Wood? And then behold, like the dude's going to end up on the Bills wall, like Ring of Honor. Like he's going to end up on the Wall of Fame. But yeah.
Don says that we could have drafted Humphrey and not Boogie. The thing is, I like Boogie Basham. I know he hasn't gotten the play that a lot of fans would probably expect him to have gotten, being such a high draft pick. But I think when your defense is playing the way they're playing, you don't have to force it. So I truly believe if we had some injuries or if guys weren't playing well, I think we would see a lot of Boogie. Boogie is going to be a beast for this team for a long time.
Yeah.
He and Groot are two guys that can do both. Like they can, you can rotate them on the inside. You can keep them on the outside. They help with the run. They help with the pass. Like both these guys are, I don't know if everybody remembers in the offseason, people were saying, well, Boogie is more game ready than Groot. And Groot is playing lights out, like he's playing out of his mind. So,
well, we thought that Boogie would start, Groot would develop, and then eventually they'd probably switch places. And then it's like, nope, Boogie's scratched, and Groot is a monster, like he's a problem. Yeah,
but I'm 100% okay with the Boogie pick. I'm obviously great with my guy Groot, but I also get the need or the desire to have somebody like Creed on his team. Like I completely get it, especially with the struggles that we're having.
Yeah, for sure. So let's talk about real quick, just because we've been crushing this thing. Good conversation. And the chat is super fun. Actually, before I do that, now that we got some folks up here in the room, ladies and gentlemen, this show, the Humpty Hotline that you are tuned into, is on the Buffalo Rumblings multicast network and podcast network. It's brought to you by the Market Dominator. Who is the Market Dominator? Well, the Market Dominator is that guy right there below my name. His name is John Spaschek, and he's a real estate agent with Keller Williams Realty. Keller Williams is the largest real estate agency or brokerage in the world. And John is consistently one of the number one reps in all of Western New York. Like every single month, I like share his post on Facebook where he's like in the $1 million club. The dude is just awesome. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, you want to call John. You want to have the best team on your side, because when it comes to buying and selling a home, the reality is you don't get to do that by yourself. Somebody does that for you, and you want the best agent you can find. John is that guy. If you are looking to buy a home or sell a home, call John on his cell phone. He will answer 716-570-3298. That number again, 716-570-3298. You can also email him. I wouldn't do that. I'd call him, but you can email him. Your elite broker. Well, I'm just that kind of a guy. Like for me, I want to call somebody. I want him to answer. And that's what John will do. He'll answer.
He'll answer every time.
You can also tweet him. John is Bills Mafia. He is actually a season ticket holder in the club section on the visitor side. I've sat in his seats. They're actually great seats. And his handle on Twitter is at Your Elite Broker. Give John a call. You won't regret it. Tell him the voice and Jay Spencer King sent you. Maybe he'll cut your break.
I know you were on the beach drinking one of those. Mm. But did you get a chance to catch Time to Shine or the Chop Up on the weekend that you weren't
in? I had no internet service.
Okay, so first, before we move on from talking about John, let me tell you how, like, John's energy, first of all, is contagious. Secondly,
yes,
he had the best commentary out of anybody that night that I caught up there. You know, I had Nick Geary, I had, Pat Moran and Ashley Petty and Kristen Kimmick. And I had the crew, I had Angie, everybody. Yo, John got up there, he got that mic, and he lit the whole place on fire. So shout out to John, the Market Dominator. He was talking about how the Bills were going to dominate the Jaguars the same way he dominates the market. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. But what I tell you, if you get a chance to go back and check that out, man, I'm telling you, you got to see John. John is like, I love John, man. He's become one of my favorite people in this world, honest to God. Like, I love John.
He's a genuine dude, and he'll treat you right. If you're looking to buy or sell a house, if you've ever had a bad buying or selling experience because of your agent, or didn't maybe go the way that you want, you won't have that experience with John. So let's talk about the Jets game real quick before we put this thing to bed.
All right, I threw up in my mouth. Go ahead.
What are your feelings on this whole concept of a get right game? Was that a get right game, or are the Jets just a bad football team?
I think both can be true. I think both can be true. I think for us, we needed a get right game. Like we needed to, even if the team was bad that we were playing, we needed to see ourselves, and not the fans. I'm talking about the team.
Yeah.
The Buffalo Bills needed to see themselves operate like they should. They needed to see themselves have good connections between Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs. They needed to see the defense force turnovers. And I mean, they've been doing that all season, so it's not like that was the need, but they needed to see the team win on all three phases. Special teams, offense, and defense. And we did that. And then, like I said, you got your confidence back from your quarterback. You know, he had a couple turnovers the game before. Now he came out and he just dominated. He looked like if he wanted to, he could have threw for 500 yards if he felt like it. You know, our running game, it still isn't like, okay, we got the guys now. Like, they did it. It's still not that, but they made a big improvement over what we saw in Jacksonville. Then you're talking about the offensive line. Spencer Brown came back and first of all, can I just like, how amazing is it that I know, because last week or 2 weeks ago now, we had Feliciano out and we had Brown out.
Right.
So it was like, well, the offensive line is hurting because of the two starting positions being out, right? It's not Feliciano. Mm. I'm telling you, it's Spencer Brown. Mm. And I love how much of an impact he has as a rookie on this team. I absolutely love it, man.
He's already become a tone setter. So last year when Mongo was out, that was the problem, is like the offensive line lacked an identity because there was nobody there who was John Feliciano 30 pounds heavier than he is now, being that kind of Italian stallion, like bruiser. I'm not going to take crap from nobody. I'm going to shove people around. This year, he's a different player. Spencer Brown, we've seen the video where he's like making fun of shorter guys, like talking about guys' stature, like making fun of dudes. Like, he clearly dusted, pancaked a couple guys in this football game. He's just a monster. Like, he's just set, and he's using his physicality to his benefit, and it's setting the tone for this offensive line. And the reality is Darrell Williams was kind of a bust at right tackle, and then moved to right guard with the Panthers, I believe is where he came from. And kind of played okay. And the Bills signed him and moved him out to right tackle. And we've talked about last year that he was somewhat of the unsung hero. He kind of came in and you never heard his name called. He didn't get penalties. He never like let sacks up. He's a better right guard than right tackle for sure. And Spencer Brown is a good, very good right tackle. It'll be interesting to see what his progression is, if he can make it to left or not. But I agree with you. But the Jets game for me, I think the problem that I have, and I said this on Sunday, get right games have some sort of definition to, like, okay, now we've gotten back to who we are. And I don't know that game we saw on Sunday was necessarily who the Bills were. A lot like the run game, 4 rushing touchdowns, like that's not who the Bills necessarily are. And I don't want the Bills to get this misconception that, like, yeah, that's who we are, we did it. Because I'm not sure if you play the Colts the way that you played the Jets that you're gonna have 4 rushing touchdowns the way that they did against them. Thoughts?
No, they're not. The game Sunday coming up is not going to be like the game this past Sunday.
No.
First, it's a completely, they're way, way more competitive. Way more competitive. They have a running back who, at this point, with Derrick Henry going down and with Christian McCaffrey kind of getting back into the swing of things, I think Jonathan Taylor at the moment is the best back in the league. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a completely different game. Our run defense is going to be tested. Not that it hasn't been tested at points this year. Obviously, we saw the Derrick Henry situation. We saw other teams try to have success. They haven't quite had it besides Derrick Henry, but we're going to be tested this week. Are we really that number one overall defense with everything? Are we that dominant against the run? We're going to find out, because Jonathan Taylor, I saw a crazy stat the other day. It's like against stacked boxes, so like 8 guys in the box, I think he averaged something crazy like 7.2 yards or carry with 8 guys in the box. And it's just like, yo, what the hell, man?
Well, that speaks to the offensive line and the scheme and the run protections, the run protections. But it's, so the Bills are going to try to make them one-dimensional. I mean, the Bills are literally, that's what Sean McDermott says. We're going to win by making the offense, the opposing offense, one-dimensional. So they're going to do everything they can to shut down, right? Jonathan Taylor. It'll be interesting to see how Carson Wentz responds to that, and if the Bills can shut him down. And you got to wonder if the Bills are going to move out of a nickel, out of the 4-2 nickel. Are they going to move to more of a 4-3, an actual traditional 4-3, if Tremaine can play, which we haven't even gotten to the injury report yet. We segued nicely into the next week, which is fine. But if Tremaine is healthy and can play, do they put Klein out there? Do they put a third linebacker out there and take Taron Johnson off the field and remove that nickel corner? I don't know what the answer is. I know that every single time you and I have been on this show, and it's been a lot, and we've talked about being worried about the opposing team's running back, really good running back, the Bills have shown up. Outside of that Tennessee game this year, of which that 76-yard touchdown run by Derrick Henry had three holding penalties on it by the offense. The Bills defense has shown up every single time we've been worried. Going back to last year against the Raiders, Josh Jacobs.
Yeah. I think, and I'm hoping that the Buffalo Bills don't change their identity for this game. You know, when you get away from who you are to try and win the game, and like you overthink it or you over scheme it, that's normally when mistakes are made, because you have to think to do your job as opposed to just being naturally in the place you're supposed to be. These guys have been, for the most part, obviously we have some rookies and we have one couple guys here that's newer than others, but for the most part, these guys have been together for 4 years. So at this point, I want you guys to play the defense that you've been in. I want you to play the way you've been playing all season. Play your position. You're a linebacker. Play exactly how you've been playing all year. And if we get beat on a run, okay, we get beat on a run. Play for the next down. Like, don't.
Well, at the end of the day, getting beat by Jonathan Taylor for a 16-yard run is the same thing as Levi Wallace allowing a 16-yard completion and tackling the guy. As long as it's between the 20s, right? Bend but don't break.
So I'm not in any way expecting, at least I'm hoping, that the team doesn't try to change their identity to stop and contain Jonathan Taylor. To me, look, and I get that we take pride in stats and we take pride in being able to say, oh, we gave up the least amount of yards out of any other team on defense, and we're just great. I understand the pride behind that. Like, it feels good to flex like that when you're debating, and it feels good. Listen, I don't care if we have the most yards in the world given up. At the end of the day, as long as we have more points on the board when is all zeros on the clock, that's what I care about. So the thing is, I want to leave out of here with a W. That's what I want. I want to leave out of there with a W.
Well, the reality is, and before we talk about the bottom or the last portion of this scrolling ticker at the bottom, which is about, are we concerned about Star and Tremaine not being in this football game? It's all going to be how the Bills offense starts as well. Because the Bills are 7-2 right now if they score two touchdowns versus two field goals in the Tennessee Titans game. Because that almost removes Derrick Henry and him from the game. So if the Bills come out and they find a way to put 14 on the board early, right? So then the Colts are seven, whatever. If the Colts are playing from behind from the beginning in an away stadium, which, by the way, traditionally in the last several years, the Colts have not played well in Buffalo to begin with, just in general. But if the Bills can get up early, it's going to take Jonathan Taylor potentially out of the game and put the game on Carson Wentz's back. Now, the problem is, you going to say something?
I'll wait. I'll let you finish your thought. Because I just disagree that they haven't been playing well. But go ahead.
What? Who hasn't been playing? Did I say they haven't been playing well?
In Buffalo. No, you said in Buffalo they haven't played well the last couple of times. They almost beat us in the playoffs.
Right. Okay, but the Bills won that game. Gotcha. And the game before that, the Bills won that game. The home opener, they won that game a couple years ago. But that's all I'm saying is, like, the Colts haven't necessarily won here in a minute. And then, so what you're talking about is putting the game on the shoulders of Carson Wentz if the offense can come out, start fast. The problem with that is Carson Wentz beat this Buffalo Bills team with Josh Allen in the Hurricane, right? When he was an Eagle, 55-mile-an-hour winds in Buffalo. I was at that stupid football game when Josh Allen threw the ball 42 or 44 times, which is ridiculous. It's just going to be interesting. There's a lot of dynamics to play. I think literally trying to shut Jonathan Taylor down, making them one-dimensional, only works if the Bills come out hot early.
Yeah. No, I agree. The thing with Carson for me, I think I'm less of a harsh critic on him than most people around
the league. I am as well. I got bashed for it last week. I got bashed for it because I put a tweet out that said people were kicking dirt on Carson Wentz way too early. And like, this guy sucks. And it's like, he doesn't suck.
He doesn't suck. Like, if you actually, and I don't, I always hate to say it like this because I don't want to be one of those go watch the film. I don't want to be those guys.
Right.
But like, lately I've been watching a lot of football. Like, since we started doing these podcasts and adding all these shows to our week, I didn't mean it to come out like that, but I've been watching a ton of football because I want to be informed and I want to make sure I give correct takes and not just like speaking out of left field. Carson Wentz is not a bad quarterback. Now, just like everybody else, he has moments where he looks unsettled or he looks like he's not the guy that he was drafted to be. Josh Allen has moments. He doesn't have games anymore, but he has moments that he doesn't look like the MVP runner-up that he was last year. We had a game a couple weeks ago, like against the Jaguars, where they're like, oh my God, is Josh Allen no longer in the MVP conversation? Josh is still good. Carson Wentz, with his coach, Frank Reich, and we all know him in Buffalo. We all love him because of who he is and the greatest comeback and all that stuff. Frank Reich is a offensive genius. And if you don't want to give him that credit, sucks to be you, because he is. Like, Frank Wright is one of the best offensive minds in the league. And when you add Carson with a great offensive line like he has, and you add a running game like he has, and you have weapons like he has weapons to throw to.
Yep.
So I'm going to just tell you, this game.
Good. Oh, and by the way, who was Carson Wentz's offensive coordinator when he was good in Philadelphia?
Boom. Frank Wright. You know what I mean? So Frank Wright, he knows how to use Carson.
Yes.
He knows how to put him in the right position to win. So if you're thinking that we're going to go into this game and it's going to be like, oh, we're going to make Carson look like Mike White, I hope so. Like, I would love to see that. But I'm going to just tell you, Carson Wentz isn't going to look like Mike White Sunday. He's not going to.
Well, he's not going to look like Mike White, but there's a great chance that the Bills could slow him down and turn him into kind of what he was this past weekend against the Jaguars. He did not have a good football game against the Jaguars. Dude, this is going to be a fun football game. I was thinking about this show, and I was thinking about what I wanted to say, and I was thinking about how I wanted to feel. And after specifically the Jaguars game, I'm having a hard time. My confidence is a little bit, not broken, but a little bit cracked, right? And the Jets game, as much as like we thumped the Jets, I'm not sold on like, yeah, we thumped the Jets, we're back. It's like, no, they kind of suck. I know they beat the Bengals, but they kind of suck. And all I could come up with, and this might not even ring true, like ring for you, but like movie quotes is kind of like my thing. Do you remember the movie The Gladiator with Russell Crowe? There's the scene with Robert the Bruce, and he's talking to, I think, his dad, and he's like, I want to believe. And that's where I'm at. Like, I want to, like, we went into that eight game stretch at the end of the season last year, and I believed. I said it, that the Bills could potentially win out, and they did. Like, I believed it, and they did. And that's where I want to be. I just, my confidence is a little bit shaken from that Jaguars game. So I want to see, like, I believe they can shut Jonathan Taylor down. I just don't, like, this game is going to be, I'm going to be a nervous wreck, dude. I'm going to be a nervous freaking wreck for this football game.
Well, I'm going to say, so my confidence is there. I don't think we're going to go undefeated for the rest of the year, but I'm very, very confident that at the very, what do we have left? Eight games? No, nine games? Yeah, where are we at? Game, 6-3. So we have
eight games left.
So we have eight games left. Out of those eight games, I see us going 6-2.
12-5 does not get the number one seed.
I think that ship has sailed, and that's only because, and I understand that might get me some bad feedback here, but losing that game against the Jaguars, which you are supposed to win 10 times out of 10, I think that hurts. Because right now the AFC is very tight. Like, literally, I think it's like two games that separates the one seed from the eight seed. So if we didn't lose that game, we're in the one seed right now. And also, you know, say we lose to Tampa. I don't think that we will, but
I'll be at that game. They better not lose. I'm trying to get you to go.
It ain't happening. It's over. But say we lose to that team. The thing is, now you added another loss to your record that you weren't supposed to have. We absolutely should have had the number one seed. We should have beat Pittsburgh.
Yes.
And we should have beat Jacksonville. So when you have two losses on your
Tennessee.
And Tennessee, but losing to Tennessee to me isn't as bad of a blemish on your record. True. As losing to Jacksonville and Pittsburgh. So to me, you know, because you're right, we should have beat Tennessee. I still think that we're the better team. I've been saying that since the loss, and I got dragged for it by Tennessee fans because they're like, how the hell can we beat you? And you still say we're better than you, okay? Like, well, it just is what it is.
The stat, they're middle of the pack in offense and defense. Like, they're not a good football team. They're just winning. It's not.
Yeah,
it's not. To Bruce's point, it's not sustainable the way they're winning. So
yeah, so it's just working out for them that the ball is bouncing the way it needs to bounce for them in order to get the victories, and I'm okay with that. Like, like, I understand sometimes it takes talent, but it also takes a lot of luck a lot of times to get to and win the Super Bowl. There, are, like, you go back to the Eli Manning years of the Giants. He wasn't a good quarterback in my opinion. People can yell at me about that. I know he's Hall of Fame and all that. He wasn't good. He had a run. You talk about Joe Flacco. He's going to be a Hall of Famer.
He's going to make the Hall of Fame, but I don't know. He's not his brother. Can we all just admit that he's not Peyton?
He's absolutely not Peyton. To me, Peyton, there's an argument, and I know this is not the direction that we're going to go on the show, but I mean, there's an argument to be made that, well, I'm just saying there's an argument to be that made that Peyton could be the best quarterback of all time. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're going by Super Bowls, obviously it's Brady. But I mean, right. Like, if you're talking about just, okay, I got a guy on the field with a good offensive line and receivers, who do you want to lead your offense?
Peyton Manning.
A lot of people are going to say Peyton Manning before they say Tom Brady, and Tom Brady's a damn good quarterback.
Right, right.
So, Eli, I don't think you're gonna hear Eli on anybody's list until you get probably down into like the 40s. Maybe then.
It might be farther than that for me. Like,
yeah,
it,
yeah.
I just, yeah, I don't, yeah, it's, it, it's, there. We can move on.
I don't want to. I know that's not. Yeah, yeah. I don't want to go there because I know. But I'm just saying, like, Eli is not a good quarterback. So, you know, there's an argument to be made about Peyton. There's an argument to be made about all these things. But when you're talking about, like, now in the grand scheme, back to the conversation about like where the Bills are in the schedule, when you have those losses, it's really, really tough to, like, unless they do win out. Because right. We're so close. Everybody in the AFC, I'll look that up now, but everybody is so close. I just don't see the Bills being able to win out. I just don't. And that's not me doubting them. I think we're gonna win the division like we should.
We should.
And then I think we're gonna have to play every weekend of the playoffs, but I think they're gonna be built to do it.
Well, the good news is more than likely if Tennessee comes away with the one seed, then I can't see them making it through the playoffs, which means the Bills could potentially, if they're the two seed, end up with home field advantage at some point. So the AFC championship game still goes through Buffalo. In regards to this game, what are you looking up?
No, I'm looking at the standings for the, go ahead. I'll load them up. I'll load them up.
What are we thinking? And you guys can talk in the comments section as well. What are we thinking as far as Star not being a part of this football game? More than likely, Tremaine's going to play. He's day to day with a hamstring. More than likely, he's going to play. I think.
I'm hoping that Star plays. If
I don't think
if Tremaine doesn't play,
I don't think it's possible for Star to play. Star was unvaccinated, got COVID Sunday, so was pulled off the field Sunday, and it's what is it, 10 days or 14 days?
I think. Oh, you know what? I don't know.
I think he's out. I don't think it's even possible for him to return. If he was vaccinated, I think he could return. But I thought I read a report last week that he's unvaccinated, which means it's automatically 10 days.
Well, I need Star to figure that out. Like, I need him to. And again, it's not my place to come on here and tell people to be vaccinated or not. And I'm not doing the political conversation about it and all that stuff. I need him on this field. So what I'm saying to you is I'm not telling you need to get vaxxed. What I'm telling you is I need you on this field. Figure that out. Just figure it out, man.
Yeah, about that. So where are we at as far as that goes? I mean, we're going to see a lot of Vernon Butler because Zimmer's out. So Zimmer's on IR, right? So no Zimmer, no Star. So it's Harrison Phillips, Vernon Butler. Boogie's probably going to play, right? It's not ideal.
I guess that's my biggest concern though, because so like I said, we're going against Jonathan Taylor. Mm-hmm. So it's not that I think that Jonathan Taylor is going to have like a 500 yard game, you know, it's not going to be like a Madden day,
right?
But the thing is though, Star is, and I think now at this point, I'm hoping that at least everybody in the comment section understands how important Star Latulele is. You get what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Cause there was a section of the fan base before that's like, no, Star.
I was okay. One of them.
And now I think, and I'm hoping for the most part, that our fan base has understood what his presence on the field means. I need Star back, man. Like, I don't care what he has this year and what next year left on his contract,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Dog, I need you back, Star. I need you back. But, yeah. But real quick, before we move away from this, I just want to show the standings, the top standings for the AFC conference. So, currently, we're tied in second place with the Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's some tiebreakers and everything, so we can talk about that later. But the Chiefs, as horrible as they've been playing, they're first in their division.
Who was it that said that it was too early to kick dirt on the Chiefs? I think it was Joe Miller.
And I think it was Jay Spence the King, too. So I think we were right. You know, and then even again, I know we just talked about we should have beat the Steelers. But the Steelers is right there in the wild card. Like, they're right there.
Yep.
So when you're looking at this, it's like you got these teams. I got a a feeling that the Chiefs are going to continue to I know they have a rough schedule, but I have a feeling that they're going to figure this thing out, because that's what they do every year. They're kind of like the Patriots used to be, where they would start off slow and then out of nowhere they would just kind of pick it up. I feel like the Chiefs are going to do that. The Ravens, we can hate all we want to, and we can say what we want about Lamar Jackson. That guy is playing at an MVP level because he's putting his team in positions to win every single week. He had a bad game against the Dolphins. Okay, let's talk about it and laugh at him and whatever. Josh had a bad game against the Jacksonville Jaguars. It's the same thing. Lamar Jackson is playing at an elite level this year. And then you look at the Titans. This is the team, like you said, I don't think is sustainable. I think they're going to fall off.
Yeah.
I think they're going to fall off.
You're probably looking at a Ravens Bills AFC championship game, would be my guess. Guess, right?
Yeah.
Just my guess. Nice false, nice falsetto, Joe. Well, I do make a living singing. So for those of you that are wondering, but let's talk about, it's the three-quarter mark of the hour. Let's talk about Josh Allen's stat lines for this football game. And maybe we can do, I don't know, do we want to do run game stat lines? What do we want to do? How do we want to wrap the show tonight?
Let's talk Josh. Everybody loves Josh.
Everybody. Did you? You probably haven't had a chance to watch the new Beyond the Blue and Red, right?
No, no.
It just came out today. It's really good. So it's about.
I'll check it out when we get done with this.
Yeah, it's super, super.
Got to take my hair out to get rebraided, so I'll check it out while I'm doing that.
So in the comment section, let's talk about Josh Allen. What are we looking at? What are some projections, some predictions for Josh Allen's stat line in this football game? And I don't know if I'm going to give one, because I've kind of gotten in the habit of giving mine during the prediction show, the Time to Shine show on Saturdays. But what do you think? Uh-oh, super chat. So we have a super chat from our guy, Brian Bowers, who I still am telling everybody the dude needs his own show, but nobody listens to
me. He does. And he won't come on mine, man. I've DM'd him like twice and he just would not come on the code of conduct. And I don't know if I ain't exclusive enough. I don't know if I don't have the right clout. I'll get Brian Bowers, my man, Buddy B, on the code of conduct. But he says with the super chat that it's the same ish every year with the Titans. Now they don't have Henry. They will fall back to earth. Trust. Tannehill isn't it. I agree. Tannehill isn't it, but Tannehill is a lot better than we give him credit for.
He's an enigma to me. He's like the epitome of a game manager. Like, if you want a guy that's a game manager that's not going to make a crucial mistake that's going to hurt you, he is the guy. Like, he is the guy that's just not going to hurt you. And it's frustrating. And he has a very punchable face. So I'm just going to say that he's a very punchable face. But as far as Josh Allen goes in this football game, what is Josh Allen going to have to do in this football game? What are your thoughts? So in the comment section, Josh Allen stat line, throw them up now if you've got them. What do you think Josh Allen's going to do in this football game? What are your feelings this Bills offense, including Josh Allen, is going to have to do to put this this Colts team away? Last year to me was not an outlier, but it was an outlier when you think about it. The Bills started almost every drive inside their own 15 in that football game. It was a different game. If the Bills have some semblance of getting drive starts at the 25, 30, 35, 40, I think this is a completely different football game.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I agree with you. But also, so last season, that was the first year we saw the offense look the way that they look. Like it was the first time that we saw them come out and be dominant. So the thing is, it didn't matter last year. Like you could get the ball on the 2-yard line and Josh was taking us down the field for 98 yards and a touchdown. Like he was doing it consistently. Like it was insane. Now, when you look at that playoff game, that's not what was happening. They would get the ball in the five or on the 10 and could not get out. They could not move that ball. Right. So the thing is, as much as I want to sit here and say, you know, the Colts just aren't a good team and the Colts aren't this or the Colts aren't that, they figured out something in order to slow Josh Allen and their offense down. So I'm not saying that's going to be the same thing that happens, but for me, the key that I'm looking at, and I got yelled at for posting this, I need to start seeing more games where Josh Allen has zero turnovers. Zero turnover. And I understand that it's not realistic to say like you're gonna go the whole season with no interception. I'm not saying that, but what ends up happening is you allow certain teams to kind of feel confident and stick around. You know, so you turn that ball over, momentum's a real thing. I don't know how many people like really pay attention to momentum the way it's talked about sometimes on sports. Like, for instance, in basketball, you could a team would be up by 20 points and then the momentum changes and the other team like goes on a 25-3 run and then all of a sudden the game is tied. It's real.
WGR 55 would not be happy with this segment. I'm just letting you know.
It's a good thing I don't work for WGR 550 because this is, to me, it's a real thing. Like momentum, just like culture, is a real thing. And if you're going to allow teams to get turnovers on you, like for instance, the Jets, they were horrible for the whole game. Mm. They were horrible. But that turnover, it kind of made them feel like, okay, at least we could play defense. At least we could do this. And then they scored a little bit here and they felt good about them. They weren't going to win. But the thing is, you don't want to give good teams the opportunity to feel good about themselves.
Have you ever seen a team celebrate an interception losing by 4 touchdowns the way the Jets did when they intercepted Josh Allen?
Man, I mean, they had to celebrate something, boss.
10 games in, they finally have a defensive back with an interception, and it was like they won the Super Bowl. Like,
but that's why they had to celebrate that. I mean, you see the way the Jacksonville Jaguars celebrated a victory over us. It was like,
well, that was a big deal. That was I mean, we are the big boys on the block at this point. At least we were before the Jaguars game.
I'm just saying.
Josh,
you don't want to give teams the idea that they can compete with us.
Yeah, Josh Allen for me in this football game. I'm not saying he has to take the game over, but this has to be a Josh Allen football game. This is not a game where we're going to walk away and go, man, we rushed for 180 yards and we had 4 touchdowns on the ground and it was great and we didn't even need Josh Allen. This, to me, is a game with that defense and those linebackers on that football team where Josh Allen is going to have to be the MVP. Like, this is one of those football games that they're going to look back. The voters are going to look back and be like, without Josh Allen, the Bills don't win that football game. And I feel like the Bucs is another one of those games, probably both Patriots games. This is that game. This isn't the Jets. This isn't the Jets football team. I don't know what his yardage totals are going to be, but he's going to have to be dominant. He's going to have to play not flawless, but lights out. Is there a difference between lights out and flawless?
Yeah. Yeah, because lights out, you can still make a mistake here or there. You know, like flawless, it's the perfect game. And that's, right. I mean, obviously, that's what we all want to see. I don't need them to be flawless, but right. I do need them to be lights out for the rest of the year.
For the rest of the year.
Yeah. So like we said, we have 8 games left, right? So I don't want to see for the remaining 8 games, I don't want to see more than 5 interceptions.
That's a lot for Josh.
That is a lot.
It's probably 3 to 4.
That is a lot.
He's going to have 3 to 4 through the end of the season, I think.
So that means at the very least, if you're going to average that out, then if he's going to throw 1 interception in 4 games, then we need to see 4 games with 0 interceptions. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see any interceptions.
Right.
But
right.
What I'm saying is I also understand who Josh is. Like, I understand that he's aggressive and he's going to push the ball down the field. And if he thinks Steph has a chance to win a route or he has a chance to win a jump ball, he's going to throw it. And sometimes those will get intercepted. I'm okay with those.
Well, it's a punt. If it's 60 yards downfield, it's a punt. It doesn't matter.
So that's why I'm saying, like, when I said 5 was because, and it is a lot, but the reason why I said it like that is because I understand. But when we're having games against the Jets and you're throwing interceptions, when you're throwing interceptions against the Jags, something has to, like, that can't. So, right. And we have a, I'm not saying we're playing the Jags and the Jets a lot. We play the Jets again, though. And we have, you know, you have teams, our schedule, quote unquote, is weak.
Right.
I don't
want
to see all these turnovers and the fumbles, the carelessness with the fumbles. We have to clean that up. So like you, I'm not going to necessarily give a complete prediction and stat. Cause I've lately been saving that for the chop up as well, but 0 turnovers. That's my focus. I want to see Josh come out there. No fumbles, no interceptions.
I think where this football team can be beaten is on the outside, on the boundaries. So I think Stephon Diggs potentially could have a pretty decent day. So we'll see. But why don't we wrap this thing up early tonight? How do you feel about that?
I'm okay with it. I got to. Yeah, I told you, I got to go take my braids out, wash the hair and everything, getting it redone. So, yeah, I got some extra time. Got about 7 minutes extra.
Yeah. Super good. So, any final closing thoughts before I wrap this thing up?
First, I want to say, Brian, I know I was joking there, man. I know he called me out. He's like, that's not true, Jay Spence, in the comments when I said that he didn't want to come on the show.
I saw it.
So no, I know, Brian, I'm just messing with you. You're my guy. And I'm actually, when I get off of this, I am going to reach out to you. I got to get you on the conduct, man. Let's get you on maybe the episode after Thanksgiving game. We'll get you on the conduct if you're free.
I got to call Brian Bowers out. Brian Bowers was a staple on the Time to Shine inside of the Overreaction, like, pregame pod last season, where you recorded your voice and emailed it in or sent it to me. Dude hasn't shown up one time on the live version.
Man, he's too busy for you on Saturdays, man. He's too busy.
He's out like getting
y'all partying, man. You're getting jiggy with it. It's Saturday night.
Get it going. I need a little bit of Brian Bowers on Saturday night, 8 p.m. Yeah. Come on now, Brian. You and Sex
Brian set us up. He said it's up.
Oh, he's responded to you. He's like, let's do it, Jay Spence.
So, yes, sir. And good night, Mom. Oh, I'm sorry. You're she fine. Said night. Good night, Mom. And let me see. I didn't talk to Jamie. Did I talk to Jamie tonight? Is she in there?
She was. I think she's gone now, but she wasn't.
I'm sorry, Jamie, if you're not in here. I love you. I love Jamie, man. Jamie's awesome. Your family is awesome, man.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate it. Well, you're technically part of that family now, so it's all good.
Yes, sir.
So, ladies and gentlemen, you have been tuned into the Hump Day Hotline on the Buffalo Rumblings Multicast and Podcast Network, brought to you by the Market Dominator with your hosts, Joe Miller and Jay Spencer King. I love you, Tremaine, and that's awesome. You can find me, Joe Miller, on Twitter at Joe Miller Wired. You can find Jay Spencer King on Twitter at Jay Spencer King. And you can find John Spaschek, the Market Dominator, if you're looking to buy or sell a home, on his cell phone, 716-570-3298. Or on, I like his handle better. Find him on Twitter. Yeah. Follow him. You're at Your Elite Broker. But with that.
Oh, wait, can I say one more thing?
You can always say one
I'm
more.
I'm sorry. Thing. I should have did good. This a second ago when you gave You're me the good. Floor. I'm sorry. Hey, I need y'all to get out to Resurgence. Oh. I need y'all to get out to Consumers. I need y'all to get out to Wegmans. I need y'all to try this Buffalo Rumblings IPA. If you didn't make it out to the release when I was there, I'm going to tell you, it's actually good. I don't drink beer. It's good. I'm telling you. Get out and try it. When you go buy it, do me a favor. Snap a selfie. Take a picture of you drinking or take a picture with the can. I'm doing something special for the end of the season, and I want all of you to be a part of it. Please take a picture, snap it, do a selfie. Tag me, tag Joe, tag Buffalo Rumblings, tag Bruce, whoever, and I'll make sure you're a part of us. Please, please, please go out to, again, Consumers, Resurgence, and Wegmans. This is all going towards the Haven House of Buffalo, which benefits women and children escaping domestic violence situations. We want to give them a good Thanksgiving, which is coming up next week. We want to give them a good Christmas. So we're doing a food drive. And then also, like I said, the money's going directly there. So please, please get out to Consumers, Wegmans, and Resurgence, and get the beer, please.
Good stuff. Joe Miller, Jay Spencer King, we love you guys, and looking forward to this football game. I want to believe. Go Bills, Jay Spence.
Go Bills. I love you, Tremaine.